Welcome to the Everything EC podcast. I'm your host, Carla Ward, and joining me today is Susie Begin. She is an early childhood educator and here to talk about her journey, but also all about STEAM in early childhood education. I'm super excited as you will hear me talk about play and STEAM, and you will hear the moment that I go, aha, and have a huge light bulb moment about play and STEAM. And I hope you have the same moment as me so that you can bring this back to your programs. Enjoy. Welcome to the show, Susie. It is so great to have you on to talk about a topic that I feel has made it to elementary schools, but is still slowly making its way to early childhood education. So welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So let's kick it off by you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I am an early childhood educator. Well, I usually start with I'm a mom first. So definitely I'm a mom of two children, two boys, 16 and 21. So they're a bit older than the early years. And I'm an educator. And I also own a daycare called Alpha's Discovery Kids, preschool and daycare. I'm an author of a book called Learn to Play. And I just love education. Like, that's my passion in life. If you want to really know who I am, I'm an educator at heart.
Oh my gosh, I can so relate to that. I made the joke the other day to somebody that if you cut me, I would bleed education. And I think that's what, like, true early childhood educators, I think we can all relate to that. That's awesome.
So I'm so excited about this topic today.
Oh my gosh, yes. So let's kick off with an easy definition. What is STEAM?
Yeah, you know, actually, what I want to do first is tell the difference between STEM and STEAM. So most people might know this term as STEM, S-T-E-M. And so I generally tend to think that the A in STEAM is really important. So STEAM stands for science, technology, engineering, art, and math. So really what it is it's a way of learning that incorporates all of these different areas at the same time, and they're integrated. So it's not just a list of subjects that we're learning. We're not just learning science independent from math or independent from art. We're learning all of those areas of learning in an integrated fashion. So all together.
Love it. Love it. And how do we do that in early childhood education?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people think that STEM is really for like the grade school years, right? That's when they, grade four usually is when they start learning about science and things like that. And a lot of people mistakenly think STEAM is just science. They think robots, they think computers, things like that when it comes to that. But really STEAM is a holistic approach to learning that encompasses so many different things. And you can do that at any age. And I like to say you can start at infancy because you can teach STEAM skills in an integrated fashion to young children. I really believe young children naturally have a natural curiosity, and they have a natural ability to learn using STEAM because of that natural curiosity, because of that exploration that they tend to do. And really STEAM is really just exploration in all of these different disciplines. And I can go into a little bit more detail about each one if you want. But yeah, it's really just exploration, and kids are really good at that. And so starting in the early years in infancy, you can be teaching this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely want to go into each of them, but I would love to kind of harp in on technology, because that one's a sticky one in early childhood education, because there's a line, right?
Yeah, definitely. Technology is, a lot of people get their backs up as soon as you mention technology, because automatically they think of screen time, right? And we want to minimize screen time, especially for young children. We want them to have different kinds of experiences that are real and not just related to a screen. But I really think technology is a useful tool. And I can go into more detail about that too, in terms of how technology is a component of STEAM and how you can use it in a really educational way that makes it useful and doesn't have a lot of the negative impacts that technology can have.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, technology really to me is about having access to information that we never had before. So, you know, as educators nowadays, we have access to information at our fingertips. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you were an educator in a classroom and a child had a question for you, you'd have to search through a number of books to get the answer. And you wouldn't maybe even be able to provide the answer. And nowadays, because we have technology and because information is available at our fingertips, I think it's a great resource for us as educators to be able to answer children's questions, to be able to look up things, to be able to even teach them how to do research. Even in the early years, like what does a polar bear look like or something like that, you can pull up a photo of what a polar bear looks like in real life. You know, and you can take them to places they've never been. You can show them the galaxy, right? They'll probably never go out there, but you can show them what that looks like. So it opens up a lot of opportunities for learning. And I think if you use it as a good learning tool, it definitely is a positive.
100%. So I fully respect and understand about screens and the dangers of screens in a classroom and brain development. But you really have this unique opportunity in 21st century, to your point, expose children to so much more beyond their little world. I remember there are two things that I've done with technology, which gave me this like OMG moment, for the lack of a better word. And one was a child wanted to know more about the Sydney Opera House. What did it look like inside? And as a teacher, I was like, I have absolutely no idea. All I can tell you is, you know, the white wings that we all know so well on the Opera House. But you can go on Google and do a virtual walking tour of the Sydney Opera House. And we did this with preschoolers. And it was incredible because not all children or adults will have the opportunity to go to Australia and walk through the Sydney Opera House. And it was so such a cool experience. And then another piece of tech was, and this is just preschoolers and kindergartners being preschoolers and kindergartners, is learning how the human body worked. We had this app. And it would show you how your food digested. And the kids loved to make this thing fart. And this, there was a bubble and they understood that it was an air bubble. And if you pull the air bubble through the intestines, it made a farting sound. And I mean, they were absolutely, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was also giggling. It was just the funniest experience. But it helped them visualize like what was going on in their bodies through this technology. So there is definitely room to use it for good.
Absolutely. And, you know, it can be even used for creativity, right? Like a lot of times we think technology is just computers, but it can be a camera. It can be, you know, a recording device where you use to record things that happen. For example, recording your voice, recording, yes, you know, video, things like that. And those are so much fun. They're great opportunities to bring out children's creativity, right? Like make a movie. It doesn't have to be all about computers. There's so many aspects to technology. We just tend to automatically think, you know, robots, computers when we think technology, but there's so much more to it that it, like I said, it can be useful.
Yes. You know, it would be so neat. And I mean, I don't know anybody who still has one, is you remember those old camcorders from the 80s and 90s? Like how neat would those be? Because those things were indestructible, right? You could drop them. It would be so neat to put one of those in like a classroom and let the children use them for a day. Like, I just think that would be so much fun. Right?
Oh, like walking around with it and filming like as if you're on location, you know, and making a movie. That would be so fun. And you can put it on wheels and stuff and it can walk around with it. Oh, that would be like hilariously fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that would be such a neat thing. And I mean, it keeps those things out of the landfills, but also like, I think even like overhead projectors have so much use in classrooms now. It's one of my favorite pieces of technology to put in a preschool because of shadow play. Like there's just so many opportunities.
Yeah. Like any light table is also technology, right? Like anytime we're using light bulbs or putting batteries in something and make it operate, that's technology too. So yeah, I love those old overhead projectors. Yeah. And I've seen like lots of pictures of people using them. I haven't been able to get one, but I would love to have one for my classrooms.
Yes, they are not easy to come by. My second last center, we had one and we loved it, but we had to share among six other classrooms. When I moved to a new school, we could not get our hands on one. It's not an easy task for sure. Oh my gosh. Okay, so that is technology. So we'll take a letter back. So let's talk about like, how do you integrate, you know, science into the technology and all the other letters?
Sure. Okay. So let's talk about science first. You know, a lot of people, when they think about science first, they think about, you know, the disciplines, right? They think biology, chemistry, physics, all of those things. You know, as an adult mind, that's where we go. But science, I think, is everywhere. And it's much more than that. And really, it's just about the exploration process and solving a problem. So anytime you come across a problem, usually you use science to help you solve the problem, right? And that's what we do with science in the early years is we solve problems. We look at how things interact with each other and we figure out how things work, really. Like the problem might be, how does something work? And figuring out how it works is the scientific process, right? So I like to think about going through that scientific process of asking three questions. Your first question is, what do you think is going to happen? Right? So it's a prediction question, asking children what they think is going to happen in a particular scenario. The second question is, what actually happened? So after you do whatever it is you're going to do, you observe and you ask the children to kind of explain and storytell about what actually happened. And then the third question is, why and how did it happen? And sometimes the teacher needs to get involved there. And maybe that's where the technology comes in, where the S and T come together, because we go to technology to say, okay, let's find out exactly why that happened the way it does, right? And we don't have to automatically think science experiments when we're thinking science either. This doesn't have to be experiments. It could be just, you know, we went for a walk and we're talking about animals. What kind of animals live in this particular area? What kind of animals live in this neck of the woods or whatever? So, you know, science is so vast. There's so much to it. Even what you mentioned about light, right? Exploring how light, you know, refracts, and maybe I'm not using the right word, but
I was like, you're, you know better than me.
How it bounces off of things, right? Let's be simple. Okay. So like, yeah, you know, exploring light, why did it happen a certain way? You know, mirrors, how does mirror affect light? So, you know, there's so much to science that we shouldn't box it into just science experiments or just like, you know, the disciplines, right? Like we got to expand our minds. And really that's where children are at. They really want to explore. And I find children just love science because they're just natural explorers. Yes. They just love to ask questions, figure out how things work, and then come up with an explanation, right?
Well, and when I think science, so not high school science, because this is something that drives me crazy about high school science, it's science is hands-on. And children love hands-on. And we can make all the other subjects hands-on. We just don't naturally do it. But science in preschool, toddler, even infants and kindergarten is naturally hands-on. So children are drawn to it. And then we rip the rug from under them and forget to do hands-on and give them a worksheet about it.
Yeah, so definitely science has to be hands-on. I definitely agree with that. It's a lot of fun. I love science. I've always loved science, like since I was a kid. I just, you know, that's probably like a second career if I ever wanted to do it, was just like be a scientist or something. It would be so fun.
Good for you. I have a love of brain science, but that is a self-discovered love because my high school science journey made me loathe science. And it's so sad because I am a tutor for high school students. And I read this stuff and I'm like, this could be so much more fun if we just take it off the textbook pages, please.
Yeah, it's always more fun when it's, you know, not. And all kind of learning, like science is not the only one. Like all learning is more fun when it's off the page, including math, which, which I'll talk about too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we've got our S, we've got our T, now we're onto our E.
Yeah, so E is for engineering. Now, it sounds like a big word. We're thinking, oh, do kids like under 5 years old really do engineering? Like, isn't that something for like 30-year-olds and plus? But yeah, engineering is just block play. So I like to call it engineering and gives, you know, a fancy word to it. But basically what it is constructing, building. And that's what engineering is all about. Planning out your design of what you're going to make and then actually carrying it out, executing it, and then problem solving as you go, right? Like there's an engineering process to it. You design, you build, and then you review, test, and all of that kind of stuff. And that's what we do when we're allowing children to explore with materials, right? I think that, you know, with engineering, the important part of that is that you need to allow children to explore with many different kinds of materials. So I said block play, but blocks is one component. There could be anything. Like you can put anything into an engineering area of a classroom and children can build with it, whether it's sticks or rocks or boxes or, you know, other, you know, different kinds of blocks. There's so much opportunity for building. And there's a lot of creativity that goes into that. So, you know, there's, you know, when I'm building, I have to consider my design. So that can be my art component, right? And then I have to consider the balancing of the whole thing. So that could be my scientific component. You know, I might be looking at a picture. That could be my technology component that I'm trying to replicate. You know, and then math, of course, there's calculations going on, right? Like, you know, if I put one on this side, I might have to put one on the other side. So, you know, there's so much where it all integrates together, like using loose parts, particularly for engineering, is the way to go.
Oh, you are speaking my love language right now, because block play and loose parts is one of the best investments I ever put into my classroom, and one of the most transformative for negative behaviors, for social skills, for communication, and for learning. It really does intertwine all of that STEAM without, it sounds terrible, but without a lot of effort from the educator. We're so crazy busy as educators as it is. We have to find ways to lighten our load, and block play, as loud as it can be, is where all of that STEAM takes place in such a big way.
I agree with that. Yeah. If you're going to start with one thing, that would be the thing to start with because it's going to incorporate everything and it's really easy to set up. Super simple. You just need to incorporate different kinds of materials that go together or that don't go together and see what the children do with them, right?
Yes, and it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, because to your point, it doesn't have to be, wooden blocks. It can be boxes. When I was first starting out, I knew the barista at Starbucks really well. And anybody who knows me knows I'm a Starbucks addict, and I'm very buddy buddy with the baristas, but they would save their boxes for me every week. And I would just put them into our block center. And those were our blocks for a while until we had funding for otherwise. And it was great.
I have to tell you, boxes is one of the favorite toys at all of my daycares. We get deliveries all the time of daycare material. So we always have a ton of boxes around. And, big boxes, small boxes, large, humongous boxes. The kids just love them. And they turn into, one turned into a fire truck one day. One was a tunnel. One they used, they cut holes in. They made like different light shadows inside the box. Like it, there's so many opportunities with boxes. Don't underestimate the value of a box.
100%. And I mean, I think about one of the most popular books in early childhood education is the book Not a Box, right? And it talks about all the different things that it can be to a child. And I mean, it's such, there's so much truth to it.
And we do that every single day.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, it's my favorite area. Honestly, it's the one thing I really, really miss about being in the classroom, is being able to participate in block play with boxes and just see that art piece, right? Like, that's our next letter, right? We're going from engineering to art, but engineering and art, there's so much commonalities there.
There definitely is, especially because engineering involves a lot of design. You got to like
Yes.
kind of think about what you want to do. And there's a lot of creativity involved in as well, right? Like when you look in the block area, there's a lot of creativity going on there. And art is just the same. It's a very creative process. So to me, art is process versus product, right? So it's about the doing, not about what comes at the end.
Yes.
Whatever happens at the end will be the child's like, imagination, right? So to me,
Absolutely.
art is not crafts. It's about art, like which means, you have creative license to do whatever you want with these materials. So for art, all I say is put out a bunch of materials and see what the children can create. They can be like art specific materials like paint and whatever, markers and glue and things like that. Or they can be non-art materials, like even boxes can become art. Anything can be art. I would say just keep an open mind on that and make sure it's process oriented versus product. Yeah. And
Absolutely.
then
And
of
any
course it incorporates to every single discipline, like it incorporates into art. Sorry, it incorporates into science and technology. Everything can have creativity.
Oh, for sure. And when you say that anything can be art, I immediately always think back to a trip I took to New York City. Went to the Guggenheim, and I kid you not, the art piece was two giant rocks. And it was not rocks that the artist had made. This was rocks that the artist had found in nature and brought into an art museum. And I remember my sister and I just standing there, and I literally turned to her and I was like, I don't get it. Like, I was like,
I had to
what?
laugh. I had to laugh because I had the same experience. I went to that same museum in New York and I saw all of these pieces of art where it was just like maybe even a blank canvas. And I was thinking, this is art, And I had to laugh about it because, yeah, I didn't understand. I walked around going, what is this? This is
I
art.
know.
Because you're, art, you're expecting to see something like a painting, right? Whereas like any sculpture, any, thing can be called art, really. And, even movies, all of that is art.
Absolutely. But I mean, I have to laugh. And I mean, good on you if you're called an artist and you didn't actually put anything on a canvas. But I think about, the story, The Emperor's New Clothes, and
Yes.
how the emperor lands up walking down the street naked, but everybody's saying he's wearing clothes because nobody wants to say it out loud. But a kid goes, he's not wearing anything, he's naked. And sometimes that's how I feel when I go to these art museums. And I'm sure if somebody here is a true artist listening, they're just going to roll their eyes, because I'm going to be the person that's naive. But maybe I'm the kid saying, But there's nothing there. And we're just being told it's art and we're just following along. Because how can something you can buy that's blank and then you didn't add anything, or you found a rock in nature? Rocks are beautiful. But should you be in the Guggenheim? I don't know.
Don't know. I can't answer that one.
I tell you, because I on that note, I mean, in the words of Picasso, every child is an artist. And if that's the standard that we're holding, then absolutely every child is an artist.
Yeah, so art can be going on anywhere in the classroom, really. Now, traditional art, like we say, has, and probably involves art materials, what we normally think of as art materials. Yeah, so I would just be really open with what kind of materials you put out and new ways of doing things, right? Like, straws to move the paint around instead of paintbrush, or even twigs, that you might find
Fun.
outside. You can use those. Those really help to create that pincer grasp because twigs are usually really skinny. And so they have to really hold on to it a certain way to be able to paint with it. So, just be open to different materials, non-conventional things.
Yeah, and it's just so much more fun because it's something different, right? If you go to work every day, you do the same thing, or you go to school every day and you do the same thing, then why wake up if you already know how it's going to be, right? Why come to school if you already know how it's going to play out? So it just keeps it fun for all of us.
I think it adds a fun factor, right? When it's unexpected. Like, I
Yeah.
wasn't expecting to paint with a twig today, right? Or this leaf. So,
Exactly. Exactly. And it sparks conversation too, which is so much fun. And then how does math fit into all of this?
Oh, math. I love math. So,
I
I'm a
will say
math
me
person.
too. Yes, me too.
I have to like qualify this by saying I'm a math person, but I know a lot of educators who aren't. They're, afraid of math. Math is daunting, of course. A lot of people think they don't understand it. But to me, math, like science, it's everywhere. We do math all the time. We don't even know we're doing math. And so if we come with that approach in terms of education, everything can be sorted, everything can be classified, everything can be measured, everything can be counted. So really, you can be doing math in a lot of different things. So whenever, you're engineering, right, in your engineering area, you can also be doing math if you're sorting different kinds of materials. You're also engaging in a math activity at the same time. Or let's say you're measuring the height of your structure that you built. That is also math, right? So I love to incorporate math into other things rather than doing math just for its own sake. I think math is more successful when we incorporate it into other things, and especially because math has to be concrete. It's the same as science, where you said, you like science to be hands-on. Math also has to be hands-on because pen and paper math for young children, especially under six, it doesn't work. They don't understand the concepts. It's very abstract, right? So math has to be concrete. I don't understand what 1 + 1 = 2 means until I see one object plus one object, and then I see two objects. Then I have an understanding of 1 + 1 = 2. So really, math has to be concrete and has to be incorporated into other things that I'm doing, right? So I'm already doing something that's fun, and I'm incorporating a math element into what I'm already doing. And that's, I think, where you get everything kind of, like I said, integrating. So I'm doing engineering, I'm doing science, and I'm doing math at the same time. And the children don't even know they're doing three subjects, but because it's integrated, it's fun and they're learning. They're learning a lot.
They're learning a ton, and I think it's more realistic than a piece of paper that says 1 + 1 = 2, because when you go into the real world, you're not being handed worksheets in life. You're being handed real life situations, and that's what we're giving them when we're doing hands-on learning. And I have to say, because as you're speaking, I'm like, you know what? This is it. STEAM is play, and play is STEAM. And that to me, I'm just like, this is it. This is the proof that play works. And that STEAM is play. And that is how we are going to, lay those foundational skills and get rid of worksheets.
You know what? That's quotable right there. You got it. You got it 100%. That should be a quote, Carla Ward.
Done. Writing it
STEAM
down
is
right
play.
now.
It totally is. It really is a big factor of when you describe what play is. Look at STEAM as an integrated play experience, and you've got play right there. Like, all the disciplines represented. And I didn't talk about language and literacy, but language and literacy goes hand in hand because we're having conversations. Maybe we're using a print-rich environment where there's words and things. So, depending on age group again, but everything is integrated. Physical activity, even, right? Like I'm engineering, I'm doing physical activity, lifting those blocks and placing them in a certain way. I'm using fine motor skills, gross motor skills. I'm talking, I'm telling a story. Like everything gets incorporated into STEAM.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I am so in love with this concept. And it's a concept I've heard before, but I've never really digested it in terms of breaking it into early childhood education because I talk about play. And when I talk about play, I talk about math and play and science and play. But really, it's STEAM is what we're doing.
Yeah,
This is so
it's profound.
good. You
I
know
love
what?
it.
Honestly, it
I'm so
truly be.
passionate about this.
I totally get that because if you were to ask me what kind of teacher I am, I will tell you that I'm a play-based Reggio-inspired teacher. But when we really break down what that means, is Reggio-inspired is also play-based. It is following children's interests and it's STEAM. So I maybe I have to change my title to, I'm a STEAM teacher. Like that's what I am. Bring it on.
Yeah, I'm inspired by Reggio as well. Like I wouldn't call myself Reggio, but I'm inspired by that same, philosophy of learning and, using, natural materials and things like that. And just I feel like STEAM lends itself well to play because, like I said at the very beginning, children are natural explorers. And
Yes.
because they're natural explorers, they're exploring through play. And because they're exploring through play, they're also doing the things that are what we call exploration, science, technology, engineering, art, math, they're all explorations. And so all of those things is play, like you said.
Oh, done. I'm on board. You've got me, and I hope everybody listening is on the same boat and we are headed in a great play STEAM direction. Oh, Susie, this has been incredible. Where can people find you to learn about your book, to find more about you? Where would be the best place to find you?
Well, I just started a new podcast called the ECE Classroom. So that's one place you can find me.
Yay!
And Carla will be joining me on that as well. But I have a website by my name. So susiebegin.com, SusieBegin.com. And I'm also on all social media. I love social media. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, Susie.Begin. You'll find me. And I just, yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about STEAM, something I'm so passionate about.
Oh, and passion is contagious, 100%. And we will make sure that all your links are in the show notes below that so that you can connect with Susie. And don't forget to like the podcast.